Good morning, Caroline. Good morning, Joanne. Good morning, Michael. And we are also welcoming Gail, the volunteer from Orville today. The topic for today is community participation, active involvement of residents, and it's connected with Orville Sustainable Institute. Visiting students are from Queen's University from Kingston, from Canada. It's the third time in a row. And this year's topic, as we said, it's community participation. What was the target?
So we were given the challenge of creating a community participation framework for Orville so that the planning and development process would have a clear guide for how to incorporate people's views and opinions into the planning process in order to make it more inclusive and more informed.
So I was wondering, so can you just briefly explain how it came about? So the Orville Sustainability Group just asked you to do the project, or?
We have come for several years, and we've had a relationship with the Sustainability Institute, and it took a while for them to come up with a project that they really wanted us to work on, and they were very excited about this project, and we were as well when they gave us the topic, because it is a very interesting topic and very pertinent to planning in general, and they said that there was a big need in Orville to create this kind of framework because it allows for a step-by-step process that shows how people can be included right from the beginning so that they aren't included just when a plan is already made. They can start to be included from the beginning, from the brainstorming, from the visioning.
Mm. How does it apply in Canada? Because I know that you mentioned in between somewhere that is also interesting topic for the outside.
It's something that is being struggled with all over the world, really. I mean, there's some cities that are doing it very well and some places that are doing it very poorly. We were talking earlier about Indigenous peoples, especially in northern Canada, having a real struggle to be involved in those decisions in their communities as well.
And to what extent the community members can participate in planning? I mean, in this initiative that are already taking place.
They can become very involved. Mm-hmm. And from what we've researched so far, there's a very big spectrum of how people can be involved. And they're called levels of engagement. And mm-hmm. with each level of engagement, as you move up, the people get more power. And the highest level of engagement is the level where people have decision-making power. And at the lowest level, they're just being informed. Mm-hmm. So it changes a lot from place to place, and mm-hmm. we really tried to consider that in our framework about, depending on the project, what level of participation is appropriate.
Before coming to Orville, did you figure out on which level of participation the Orville members of community are? Or did you have any clue?
It changes a lot based on different projects, mm-hmm. so it's not necessarily a level of engagement for a community, it's more for each individual project, depending on how much people are involved. So if they are involved from the very beginning and they have a really big say, and then they also can make the decision at the end, then that's the highest level. But if someone comes in and just gives a project, then that would be the lowest level.
We have an understanding that the desire is to be at the highest level in all decisions, but like Carolyn was talking about, it is project dependent. For instance, we saw the roads being fixed this morning, and no one would have been involved necessarily to a high degree in that decision because it's something that can be taken care of without needing that. Mm-hmm. So it is project dependent as well as how much influence the community wants.
And on this particular project for the planning of residential zones 1 and 2?
So through our project, we did a pilot study, which was looking at what amenities people envision in residential sectors 1 and 2. So in the way that we conducted our study, we included a variety of different levels of engagement because it's important when you do community participation that you think through what you want from the community and how you're going to use that information to come to decisions, and also how much power the community will have to come to decisions. So we did a variety of things, such as we informed the community that we were coming and also informed them of different events. But then we also had a workshop that involved a lot more transition of information from one group to another and collaborating together to come up with ideas. And then also just allowing the actual residents that came to our workshop to come up with their own ideas. So you can have a variety of different levels of engagement throughout the entire process as well. It's not just you come in with one level and try to fix it to everything.
Mm. Yesterday workshops, what it showed you? What is your observation?
Workshop was aiming to envision what sort of community features people wanted to see in residential zones 1 and 2. And we used an open spaces technique where there were topics that people collectively decided they wanted to discuss that day. And they were free to move around from table to table. And they were trying to envisage what they wanted to see, when they would want to see it, how it would be feasible, and also how they would want it to look, depending on each feature. And at the end, we came up with a summary at each table about what their priorities were. We're still processing the information. Bishop was yesterday, but I'm sure it will be very interesting when we get all the results. We will be presenting them on Saturday at our final presentation.
At Cinema Paradiso from 4 to 6, right?
4 to 6 at the MMC.
But you already had something which is called soundboard?
We had some kiosks. We had the soundboard kiosks at the Solar Kitchen and also at the PTDC and also some in the residential areas. And we asked the same question there about community features, and people were able to put sticky notes to say their thoughts about what they wanted to see in the area. And from the answers we got there, those were the themes we used in the workshop to sit and talk about. Mm-hmm. So that's how the kiosks informed our workshop.
So what were the themes?
There was a bunch of themes. So some examples were roads. A lot of people wanted to talk about roads and active transportation. Places for young people, that came up a lot as a very popular concern, that people wanted to have more spaces for young people to be able to hang out both at night and during the day. There was multi-use common space came up a lot, and community services. There are 13 themes, so there's a lot of them.
Oh, that's a lot.
May I just ask one more question about the project? So how would you define the project that you're tackling right now? So because residential zones are already planned, kind of, they are already buildings and everything. So what is specifically what you're dealing with?
For the pilot project?
Yes, with this participation workshop and information kiosk and everything, because it's focused on features, community features, right?
So that would be at the visioning stage of community participation. So we tried to go from visioning and narrow it down a little bit more today because there have been a lot of visioning exercises in Oroville already. So we are trying to go one step further to get some clearer timeline answers. Mm-hmm.
We were trying to get essentially priorities in terms of the features because, like you say, the buildings are built in some cases, there are plans. Really, though, the pilot project for us was more about testing our framework and allowing us to gain more input from Oroville for our framework for the end report that we have that will hopefully help with public participation in Oroville.
So why did you choose community features in particular?
The Sustainability Institute spoke with Lavenir, and Lavenir said that this is a big project that they're working on and they wanted to know if they could use our pilot project as an opportunity to get some extra research about it.
So all of that would be presented on Saturday, but what is your common feeling? Because insofar you've been interacting with the people, you did the survey, you did the soundboard, you did the workshop.
It sounds like the biggest theme that emerges is that there's a lot of discussion and talking about what everybody wants, and there needs to be a clearer sequence of events to move to the next step. So we're hoping that the framework will help to make it a clearer process for how community participation can be managed throughout an entire planning and development project.
But I have a feeling the community wants to participate.
Definitely. Yes. We haven't had any problems getting participation, even when we put out a survey. The RIS put out a survey for us, and it was open for only 24 hours, and there were 80 responses. So we definitely are getting the feeling that Oroville wants to participate, and our kiosks, there were so many people that came up and were really excited to participate and share their opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of creativity in the responses that we've heard, too, especially in the ways that people want to participate in community participation, which is really interesting. And I think in our report, when we write it up, it'll provide insights too in what can be done in Oroville that's not that's a little bit different too in terms of community participation, trying new things and being creative with it.
Yeah, some of our residents are really active, right?
Yeah, they really are.
They want to be heard. What about Orville? What is your feeling about Orville? I think all three of you, it's the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been very, very different than even what we expected. I mean, reading about it online and trying to learn what you can, you still don't know where you're going till you get here. It's been very nice to be here. It's a beautiful place, and the people have been wonderful.
And we all went to the Metromundir yesterday, and I think that was a really important step for us to understand Oroville a lot better. And it was really nice being explained how it's the center of the community instead of it being a commercial hub as the center, and it just kind of explains the heart of the community in a really different way, and it was a very cool experience to go there.
I kept thinking of when we first conducted our interviews when we were still in Canada. We interviewed 6 people about community participation before we came. People kept saying, you won't understand Orville until you get here. And we were like trying to figure out what that means for a long time. But then it made sense once we got here and you talk to people and you actually see the place and see all the efforts towards living in a different way. And it's very interesting, and it really has informed our framework actually being here and seeing things like the solar kitchen and things that are more community-based and seeing the Metromundir and the grounds. And it's really informed our framework and the way that we think about Oroville, and it's very true. We didn't really understand until we got here.
Now let's go back. You're coming from Queen's University, that is about architecture, development, planning.
So we're all doing our master's in urban and regional planning. Mm-hmm. So there isn't much of an architecture base in our program. It's very social sciences based. So we look at planning from an environmental, health and social planning, and also a land use perspective. So it's less about the design of the buildings and more about how people use the spaces between buildings.
Cool.
May I ask one more question about Oroville? So how did you prepare to come here? You read reports and what was done about planning and development, but did you know about the ideals or the dream of Oroville? And
yeah, so our first week of research, we actually explored the Oroville website. So we all had a section. So my section was on the charter, for example. Okay. So we all would read about Oroville through the charter and through different parts of the website, such as there's sections on like social events that go on, and different areas of Oroville that are like focused on. So we each read about it and then presented to each other to learn about Oroville. Then we've also looked at a lot of the technical reports as well. And we actually had a movie night to watch the movies about Oroville. So,
and we ordered Indian food.
We ordered Indian food. Yeah. So we really tried to make an effort to try to get to know Oroville as well, mm-hmm, as we could, both through the more like artistic side through movies and then through the more technical side, such as looking at master plans and looking at more technical information in general. But the combination, I think, really helped when we got here in terms of when you get the feeling when you're here of what Oroville is, but it helped to give us a technical background to understand where Oroville's coming from as well.
Mm-hmm. And were you influenced by this spirituality aspect of Oroville in how you designed a framework of participation? Or
we tried to be influenced before we came here, but like Joanna says, once we had our first presentation, started talking to people, we realized how some words that we were using maybe had different meanings here or meant things differently to different people. So we tried to incorporate that spirit and wording and way of thinking into our report after we started speaking to people and realizing how the wording changes.
Okay. I think you came across with different people, different nations, different ways of expressing, different needs.
Yeah, that's one thing that we definitely realized really needs to be incorporated into the framework, because since there are so many people from different places, we realized that language issues are a huge barrier to participation. And so we're trying to incorporate ways to make that more accessible. So, for example, one of our recommendations is when information is sent out is that it's sent out in multiple languages so that more people have access to it. And if someone isn't comfortable reading English, then maybe it can be spoken as well.
Mass, what did you notice as the most important thing here in Oroville that you would bring back to Canada?
I think it's the spirit of experimenting and creativity, because in Canada, things are more rigid in terms of what you can do and can't do because there's more regulations. And I think here there is more of a spirit of willingness to try different things that haven't been tried before. So I think that will be something that's important for us to take back.
What about the rest, Michael?
Oh, I don't get off the hook.
No.
I think Joanna's very right about the willingness to experiment, but also the recognition of the spirituality here and just of the, I guess, openness to each other's lives and to really have an understanding of how we're all living together.
For me, going to the Solar Kitchen was probably the coolest experience I've had so far, because I've never seen so many people just communally eating and sharing together. And I think once I walked there, almost even more than the Maitre Mondial, I was like, oh, okay, I think I understand this now. Like, people really are working together and purposefully making an effort to live with each other and not just beside each other. And that was really cool.
Does it make you want to live in a community in Oroville?
We've definitely been talking about it.
So we can hope one of you or two of you or 10 of you will come back.
We might leave one of us behind.
You already planned.
That's a good plan. Yeah, there's one of us who we all are guessing is most likely to return to Oroville.
Is he or she?
He. Oh. Even the Orovillians said that he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Any more thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're just excited to start compiling all the information that we got from all our public consultation events and put out a report and hand it out to everybody who helped us, because people have gone out of their way to help us with this project, invited us into their homes for interviews, made so much time to come help us and come to our events. So we're really looking forward to processing all the information and finishing up our report so we can hand it back as a thank you for what we've learned and everything that people have put into the project.
That's cool. Let us repeat, the presentation will be on Saturday from 4 to 6 at Cinema Paradiso. I have one more question for you guys. As you said, the thank you will be presentation. Is going to be available also in the hard copy or maybe open source?
The final report will be available in a soft copy online, and then we will also be mailing a few copies to the Sustainability Institute from Canada once it's printed.
Thank you all so much.
Hopefully
see you.
Thanks.